Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt again here, and I'm back on the program here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. It's the evening of March 1st. We're now in the month of March here in the year 2017, and it's 6 p.m. on the East Coast. It's 9 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's 7 p.m. here in my home in Sedona, Arizona. And, yeah, it's dark here. It's 7 p.m., but we notice it's getting a little bit lighter, and I think, probably a couple of weeks, you know, we shift time zones. And as I said, what's different here in Arizona is we don't shift daylight savings time. So we shift time zones. We don't shift our clocks. Our clocks always stay the same. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be coming and I'll be in the Pacific time zone. Right now, I'm in the mountain time zone as I come to you. But again, I want to thank you, all of you, for your patience. I have not had an open Q&A for about 3 weeks, and I wasn't on the program last week. I just want to say there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that I just cannot talk about. And I'm being asked to keep somewhat of a low key, because sometimes if I go too much, it draws too much attention, possibly to the people who are my wonderful confidential sources, and I will not violate that. I will not in any way violate the confidentiality of the sources, of the people that shared the stuff with me. So there's a lot of stuff that's being written out there. I'm not even going to comment about what's going on the blog sites. People get to have their opinions. They can say the things that they want to say. But when I come down to it, it's follow the money. And I'm still wondering, I don't ever see any of them talk about where the money is going to come from to pay what they talk about and how it's going to be paid for. And even if it's, whether it's Wells Fargo Bank or all these processing centers, the way that they talk about it, somebody's got to come up with well over $100 trillion to pay for all that. And the sources that I have said, that ain't going to happen. That just is not flat out going to happen, is because that kind of much money would blow up the global economy into a hyperinflation to put that much money out there to work. And it basically means it falls right into the hands of the cabal. That's what they would absolutely love to happen. They would love to have a complete global economy blow up to where the governments don't have any money and can't operate, and the banks are totally falling apart, and hyperinflation setting into place, because, you know, that's when people turn to them and say, please come and rescue us. And that falls right into what they would love to see happen, because then they can step in and take over what is called their one world government with their one world currency, and that's what they would love to do. So my sources that I have say that just flat out is not going to happen. So what is happening? Well, one of the things that I have myself, and I am speaking for probably a group of about four or five of my very good consultants that we talk about, is that it's very, very obvious that at the very, very top, there is basically one group that has the final say in calling the shots and all this. You've heard me talk about these very, very large trusts that I'm involved in. Some of you have said, well, where do they get that kind of money? Well, as I have said, that there are private trading platforms that are out there. And these trading platforms, you're never going to be able to Google them and find out about them. You're not going to find them on the Wall Street. Wall Street does not get to participate in this. The public doesn't get to participate in this. And you can only be involved in them by invitation. There's very, very limited number of brokers that are allowed to do these trading platforms. But these trusts, they have their funds in these trading platforms, and this kind of money doubles every 4 to 6 months. And anybody who knows anything about market trading, especially either trading the options markets or the futures markets, that's not hard to do. It's not hard to do if you are professional, you know what you're doing, you have computers that develop certain types of algorithms. Even today, with what happened on Wall Street today, what is it? The Dow was up over 350 points today. Well, if you had futures for, you know, basically the market to go up, you probably could have basically tripled or quadrupled your money in play today in one day. Now, they do this every 4 to 6 months, so they even do it on a conservative basis. But they have computer programs that develop with the algorithms of the trading patterns that are available on the market, and they basically invest in a very, very conservative manner, but they do. They double their money every 4 to 6 months. Well, if you can start out with $10, $20, $30, $40 million, and you did that 30 years ago, and you've been doing that for decades, you can see how you can have that kind of money in your accounts. Well, but the problem is that a lot of them, they can't move their money. These huge trading platforms, they can't move their money. Why? Let's say that you are one of these huge, large trusts or one of these large trading platforms, and you want to move $1 billion. You got to move it through a bank. How do you give somebody $1 billion without going through the banking system? You can't, unless you have hard physical currency or gold or an asset that you can physically, on a one-to-one situation, barter in essence with them. It has to go through a bank. You write a check, you send the money wire, it goes through the banking system. So the banking system that we have controls the flow of the money. And the banking system is controlled by the World Bank and the IMF. And so what we have been told is there are lots of white hat people that are involved in this whole trading issue, but they're the ones that have the final say. And again, they've been waiting for certain things to happen. Again, a few days ago, I had some more intel come through that confirmed what I had already been told. And our sources out of Hong Kong, over a year ago, they were saying they wanted this to happen over a year ago. But it was the Obama administration. President Obama and those that influenced him were the ones that were stopping this. The Obama administration just flat out did not want you and I, the everyday folks, to be involved in this. They only wanted governments and the extremely powerful, wealthy people. They wanted the governments and the wealthy to become more powerful over us, the masses. And he was the one, it was his administration, I should say, the one that was stopping this. But we have also been told that basically President Trump is totally in favor of this. But before this could move forward, he had to wait for all of his people to be in place. Now, if you've been following the news, you know, it was about a week to week and a half ago, there was the news that about, you know, the new Secretary of State went in and cleaned out what was called the seventh floor. Well, the seventh floor, that's where all the top administrative people that were very loyal to Obama and to Clinton. And they basically, they had, Trump said he had to clean those people out. Well, you have the same thing at Homeland Security and in U.S. Treasury, because they were the ones that were administrating, doing the administrative work to stop this whole stuff and keep it from happening. And he had to have the right people that were in place that could basically, in so many words, in Trump's old words, says, you're fired, you know, if they aren't going to play ball with the way that the president wants to do and the way that the others want to do. So that's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the right people to get in place, number one. Number two, we've been waiting for the banking system to be safe to move all of this money. And if you think the banking system isn't safe, some of you know that it was some weeks ago that I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with three different people face-to-face that operate these very, very large trusts. And they came right out and they told me, says, we've both, independently of each other, have had over $1 billion stolen off the money wires when we tried to move money. And so the system has not been safe to necessarily get the money delivered to you and me. That's why. That is the bottom line. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what all the other stuff. If you're asking me, say, well, this has been going on for years. Well, then listen to this and pay attention to this, is because it hasn't been a safe system to deliver the money to the people who are in the process of wanting to exchange this stuff. That's why there's people that turned in their currencies over a year and a half ago, and they thought it was going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks, and they're still waiting, because the release has not come. There's been a hold at the very, very top by the IMF. Now, I'm only going to tell you what my sources have told me. I can't say this is 100% accurate, and I can't say that it's 100%, you know, confirmed. I trust my sources. They are people that operate with integrity. They want to have the truth as well. But I've had three different ones of my sources saying that hold was released last Thursday. Now, just because the hold is released doesn't mean, you know, everything happens overnight. What we are beginning to hear is that this process will unfold in a very slow, gradual, step-by-step process. It's not here to create waves all around the world. I don't care what you're reading or somewhere else. That's their choice. That's their opinion. They can say what they want to say. I'm not going to go into what I think is about their opinions. But the bottom line is they still don't back it up with sources. You notice these people who write this stuff, They never talk about their sources. They never give you their names. They're always hiding behind these fake names, and they can never tell you where their money is going to come from. And now for almost 3 years, I've been saying, would you please just have one of these people at these tens of thousands of people at these processing centers, just have one of them call me anonymously and say, hey, I'm for real. I really do this. I haven't had one. I've been saying that now for over 2 years. And so that begins to tell me after that much of a repetitive period of time that I really question the quality of the information that they're bringing forward. I'm not going to get into the reasons for that. It's probably best that I just don't say that because I do value the fact that I don't want people coming out after me and aggressively attacking me. But that's what we're hearing. And then also I want to say that I did get a source of information today that basically had said that they were reported that there had been money moving in Reno yesterday. And I'm only telling you that's my sources. Yes, we've heard that before. It hasn't been necessarily accurate. We were able to trace it. We were able to see where that disinformation came from. We are all aware of that. But this time we're really trying to do our work and making sure that it's not just disinformation. So that's basically some of the stuff that's been happening out there. And as I have said that, you know, for those of you that are involved here, I've had four of those different large trusts tell me that they are willing to basically fund the people that are basically, you know, on my list because they understand that we're not in this to be in what I call the kingmaker business to make you rich and wealthy. We're here to take this money and spread it around the world. Now, we get rewarded very handsomely for participating in that, but that's the reason why. But I also need to clarify, they are not the people that are in charge and in control. There are people that can basically shut this down if they want to. There are people that can stop the flow of the funds if they want to. And even the trust people don't necessarily have power and control over that. So I'm telling you that that is their intent when they are released to be able to move their funds. But until that hold is released over them, they don't have the ability. That's why everybody all around the world is waiting for this. Regardless of who you talk to, that's where the money has been moving for some period of time. But based on my sources, the intel sources, and what we are hearing, is unless there's stuff going on that we don't know about, they're saying that we should know more than within the next probably week to week and a half. We might start seeing some action on that. I hope so. We all hope so. And that's basically kind of, you know, the update that I give. But with that, I should probably turn over and say, Blanca, I didn't get to introduce you at the beginning of the program. I just got going. So how are you doing this fine evening?
You were making up for lost time.
I guess so.
You just couldn't wait to have at it.
Well, you know, some people, that's the information they need and want to hear, so I can put it right up front.
Right.
Because, you know, 70 to 80% of the people listen to this program archived. They don't listen to it live. And so, yeah.
They wanted to get to the point right away. I'm hearing an echo. I don't know if you're hearing it.
I'm not, but if you're hearing your echo, it's probably because your speakers are too loud.
My speakers are too loud.
Because, see,
Let me see if I can deal with that.
And you're picking up me on your computer, and that's echoing into your microphone. Whatever computer that you have is echoing into your microphone. That's what I've been told.
Okay.
Because if I'm not hearing the echo on my end, but you are on your end,
right.
It's because your computer is picking up what I'm saying and it's echoing into your microphone.
Okay. Well, let me see if we can do that. Okay. This sounds better. So maybe that'll take care of it.
Anyway,
it sounds like there is a lot of stuff happening. Still some good news, but like usual, you really don't know until you actually start seeing things shifting in front of your very eyes. But it sounds like a lot of people are really intent on seeing this happen, so that's very good news. And then, of course, the change in administration and everything from what I'm hearing Trump say, it sounds like he is really favoring marked change, that he's favoring prosperity for as many people as possible, not just for a few. So, I mean, the themes seem to support, you know, something like this. So I think that's pretty good, too.
Yeah. So, well, I got some text coming in. Let me see what we got here. Okay. In fact, blessings to you, Diane my good, good friend, she said that Blanca was echoing, but she's better now. So, yeah, that did fix it.
Well, thank you.
They are hearing out there that I don't necessarily hear there, but it's usually because it's because, you know, your computer's turned up too much and my voice coming across your computer, your microphone is also picking that up. So,
So that's that's good that we're back in balance. And I did, you mentioned that article in Forbes about replace the dollar with gold as the global currency to make America great again. And I was intrigued by what you said about the article. So I looked it up, and I mean, this gentleman is just saying we ought to do that. And he's quoted Trump as favoring that. So that's, like you remarked, it's pretty remarkable that a publication like Forbes actually put something like this out there.
Well, Forbes has himself, Steve Forbes, has always been in favor of returning to the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's always been a proponent of that, you know, and he, you know, that's basically his publication. And so basically his people were coming out and saying that, you know, Trump says we need a new global currency, and the new global currency will be gold instead of the U.S. dollar. And but the very fact that a publication like Forbes is saying that, it shows you that there's some substantiation behind that and support behind that.
There's energy behind it and a lot of thought and momentum. So,
and Mnuchin, the new Treasury Secretary, is in favor, but, you know, he's only been there for a couple of weeks, so it takes a little bit to... You know, you got your everyday operations and logistics that you got to take care of. You got to get familiar with your staff, know who your staff is, let staff get familiar with you. And it always takes, you know, a little bit of time to do that. So everybody's operating in the flow. And you got to sit down and, you know, develop what is it called, you know, your agenda, and then, you know, develop a game plan and carry that agenda out. So, you know, we don't know all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, but everything that we are hearing from some of our sources that, yes, it does have plans on moving forward. So, yeah. I thought we would hear a little bit more about Trump on that from last night on his speech. I did listen to the speech, but if you notice, he didn't say anything. He didn't give us any indication on anything last night about moving to a gold standard and shifting and the new currencies and stuff like that. He didn't hint at any of that. We had heard that he was going to. But he obviously didn't. So that means he's not quite ready from his perspective, you know, to come out with that. But the positive thing was is that the reception of his speech last night, the polls are showing it was very, very positive. He had a very positive response. And he basically said he finally came across as being presidential. So, you know, in his speech last night, instead of kind of being shooting from the mouth and kind of bumbling some stuff sometimes. And he's learning, you know. He's not an experienced politician. He's always been able to just to say whatever he wants to say. And,
right, and hopefully he can kind of have a happy blend, because he didn't get in there because people wanted the usual run-of-the-mill politician either.
And he's not. He's not your normal presidential experienced politician who's been around this stuff for a long time. But I think what you noticed was the passion that he spoke with last night.
Yes.
He was things coming from his heart. And there's one thing, I mean, I've been around politics a long time. And I was so used to all these candidates on the campaign trail, all the promises they would make, and then they'd get elected, and then nothing happens. Absolutely nothing. And this is the first president I have seen in a long time that is making a very concentrated, focused effort to follow through and do what he said he was going to do and the promises that he made. And he's making
that comes across, because whenever he speaks to issues, it's those key issues, and there's been reports, even from the lamestream media, of progress on those issues. So, yes, I agree with you on that. And, you know, I don't think the people who backed him would accept anything less. You know, a lot of people have woken up to this, you know, game of there's no difference between a Democratic president or a Republican. They both make promises and then keep on the same trajectory. And so people are really watching to see that, you know, that there is change, since change was promised. So we shall see.
Yes. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to cover tonight. Not really, other than the fact that those, again, I want to say thank you very much to all the people that attended the workshop in Oakland. It was a very, very successful workshop. I had some surprise visitors there at the workshop in Oakland. I guess I could probably say that. I didn't see them because, you know, I'm going through my presentations, I'm following my PowerPoint, and I don't necessarily notice when somebody walks in the very, very back of the room, comes in through the back door, and there's 100 to 110 people in the room. I'm not necessarily going to notice that. But there was one of my friends that was standing in the very back, and he said about a half hour after I started, these three people walked in the back door. It was two men and a woman, and all three of them were wearing law enforcement badges. And he didn't get to see it exactly, but he was pretty certain that they were FBI, that they were there basically following up on me, just to checking me out to say that, yes, I am who I say I am. And then, you know, he talked with me the next day, and he said, it was really interesting, Dave, is because you were going through things, you were talking about, you know, how the Federal Reserve is not a government agency, it's basically the control agency of the world's money supply and the elite, you know, and the cabal, that's their instrument of control. And he said they were all back there shaking their heads and smiling and agreeing with everything that you were saying. And, you know, an hour and a half later, they left for the lunch break and they never came back. So it's, you know, who knows? But I'm just reporting it to you as it was reported to me. But, you know, this is a very good, close personal friend, and he's going to tell me the truth. But he said it was very, very evident. Their badges were very well present. The men had them on their belts, on their hips, and the woman had it, you know, with a necklace, you know, around her neck, you know, basically where the badge was there on her chest. And it was very visible to see that they were law enforcement officials with law enforcement badges. And so, never had that happen before. But I hopefully that will just, all you think that I'm going to be arrested by the FBI, it kind of gives you some stuff that says I'm doing just fine with the FBI. They have checked me out and they say I am who I say I am. I do what I say I'm going to do. I'm not here scamming. I'm not lying, stealing, and cheating from anybody. So that's just for those of you that would like to attack me, that it's your problem, not mine. So, okay. But that was interesting, but it was a good weekend. But the one I got coming up 2 weeks from Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina, we're pretty close to being sold out, folks. That is going to be a sold out event. I only posted it last Friday, so this has only been the 5 days, and I probably only have about 10 to 12 seats that are left. So if you are wanting to come to this workshop, you need to get your reservation fairly, fairly soon, because I will have to close it down and say that it's sold out when it comes to that time, because I can only allow so many people to come into the room. So, yeah. But Charlotte, you and your husband Alan are going to be there.
We are going to be there. You called me Charlotte.
Welcome. No, you and your husband Alan are going to be there. So,
yes.
Where did that come from? I know. Well, you know, most of you
know.
Charlotte Anderson was with me for, you know, well over a year and a half, and she did show up at the Dallas workshop, and I let her kind of work there with the registration table, and she was kind of back, and so I think that's where that came from. So.
Right. Well, sometimes you call me Wanda, and sometimes you call me Charlotte. Well, the good thing is both of those ladies are wonderful ladies, so I don't take offense at all about that.
Yeah.
You call me something, you know, somebody I don't like, and then maybe I'll get offended.
I know. Who do you want to be next?
Right?
Bring those little hints my way, and I might say that.
Well, you know, that's very interesting. If indeed it was the FBI that showed up at your workshop, and you're still here amongst us and talking and free. And they got to see you. In fact, that's, I think, where you are, you know, really shine, because that's where you're really giving deep insights and connecting the dots and kind of showing, you know, like a whole perspective of what this is about on a very grand scale. And so it's cool that that's what that's what they saw when they went to your workshop, and it's a good thing you didn't pull out the snake oil.
Yeah, and I'm not selling anything there either, so, you know. I don't sell anything.
Right.
I don't do any currency bartering or exchanging there.
No.
All I do is give you information. So.
Exactly. And so it's going to be great to join you in Charlotte. We'd love to go there, Chris. Your workshops constantly evolve as you learn more and gain more insight. And so it's great to be there. And of course, we love meeting the folks there who come to attend the meeting. They're just wonderful people, very smart, mostly awake. And so we're looking forward to joining you there and meeting the folks that attend your Charlotte workshop.
Yeah. And folks, even after all this money comes through, I will always do these workshops because I love going out there, being in touch with you, the people, and the energy that is there when it's a live group of people and interacting with you. So, you know, obviously some of my content will change, you know, but I'll always do this. I'll always continue. And I did put out in the newsletter last night that tentatively the next one after that will be probably 3 weeks after that here in Sedona, tentatively on April 8th. And the cities I'm looking at following up, there's no specific dates, and it's not necessarily in this order, but I'm looking at Chicago. I'm looking at Denver. I'm looking at in either Philadelphia or the New Jersey, New York area there in the Northeast. And, those are kind of the next ones that are on my schedule that I'm looking at for those three locations. Possibly Seattle after that, up in the Northwest, because I try to go to geographic areas because a lot of the people travel from some distance that come. So, and I try to make it as simple for them. And I always am at a hotel that's very close to the airport, so that if you do fly in, you don't have to rent a car. You can catch the airport shuttles. And so that's what I always do. Yeah. But with that, Blanca, anything else before we even start going into the callers?
No, I think that's it. The interesting update that you brought forward. Of course, we want to continue to energetically support this. I mean, I remember the last time you and I spoke, we took some time to look at the other aspect of it, that, yes, this is about a currency exchange, but also it's a bit about our own evolution and awareness. We've talked about releasing negative energies and negative emotions and starting to adopt more, you know, what we call heart-based emotions. And so always keep that balance. And I always enjoy when you bring that into your discussion. But other than that, I maybe we should give the number and see if anyone has any questions for tonight.
Right. If anybody wants to make any comments or any questions here, the number to call in, it's 515-605-9356. And folks, if you are listening on your phone and you have the capability to go to a computer, would you please do that? Because when I use Blog Talk Radio, it limits to how many people can call in. And we've reached our capacity. I have no room for any more callers. And there are probably people that would like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, and they cannot get in because some of you are listening on your phones. And to make room for others and to be courteous to others, would some of you, if you can do that, if you can go and listen on your computer, would you please do that so we can open up some of the phone lines for others? Because right now I'm at absolutely full capacity, and yet, Blanca, I don't see anybody who has pushed the number one saying they want to call, and yet we're at capacity of over 50 people that are listening on the phones, but none of them are saying they want to talk or have questions. So what I will do, because I'm doing the radio program and I'm not doing the live streaming, next week I'll go back to where I pick up, you know, the capacity, the capability for people to call in. I got to pay an extra $80 a month for that. So that's the bottom line. And so I had moved away from that when I was doing the live streaming because most of the people were coming in and coming through the live streaming. But I'll open that capacity up next week. But we still don't have anybody. And remember, you have to push the number one on your Touchstone phone if you want to either share it with us, talk with us, or basically make some comments. But somebody just came on. If you want to go to them, Blanca, and then what I will do, I will start going through some of the emails, okay? Because people do
some of your emails.
Yeah, and I'll take on some of those.
Okay.
So for the first email, there was a lady that said a couple of emails I received said that Trump would be making the GCR announcements and a few other things at the end of his speech. Do you have an opinion on this, if it was planned to be announced or not? Obviously, he didn't. He obviously did not. And people can say whatever they want to say, but quite often they're just opinions, and they're not basically what I call quantitative sources with that. He obviously did not say anything, and don't ask me why. I don't know why. So, okay. The next one, it says, on your radio programs, you have mentioned that our funds from the private currency exchange need to go into an LLC or trust. And this gentleman said, after reading the Sudden Wealth Solution, many kinds of trust exist. Revocable living trust, domestic asset protection trust, charitable remainder trust, family limited trust, irrevocable life insurance trust. And which one do I recommend? I don't make any recommendations on that type of stuff. And here's why. You need to sit down with a professional financial advisor, and you need to get into a back and forth discussion with them, because what fits for you doesn't necessarily fit for somebody else. What you want to do, what your goals are, how you want to use your money, what is you want to do is not the same as someone else. And I'm not going to be here recommending one specific one over another, because that doesn't fit for everybody. And also, bottom line is, folks, I'm not going to be your financial advisor. Don't ask me those types of questions. That is professional advice you need to get yourself. If you want to be a multimillionaire, then do what multimillionaires do. They don't go asking guys like me who are not professional financial people, what are you going to do? Well, you need to do what works for you. And the second thing is, because if I was to say something and one of you took that recommendation and you go out and do something and it blows up in you, the next thing you know, you've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars or $1 million and you're blaming me. Not that I'm not willing to take responsibility, for maybe something that I say, but I'm also going to be smart enough to say that is the type of stuff that you need to do for you. You need to be responsible for you. Don't ask me what kind of a trust I recommend. When you're asking me about, I do make some minimum recommendations. Minimally, you should have a business checking account to put this money in, and you should not put it into a personal account, folks. And if you don't understand that, then go find a financial advisor and ask them, okay? You need to take responsibility for yourself, okay? And because you want to have this kind of money, you want to be responsible for this kind of money. Those are things that you need to do for you. Because everybody is different. Everybody's financial situation is different. What your goals are, how you want to use your money, how you're going to spend your money, who you're going to give it away to, how you're going to invest your money, that's different for everybody. Okay? All right. Okay. So let's see. Another question that came in. It says, I was wondering if you could address a couple of questions in the next radio show. Did you state that Wells Fargo is no longer the bank we will use for quick processing? If so, what banks do you recommend now for quick processing? The only reason I have said Wells Fargo is because of the fact that they had been the contract bank, and it appears that that is no longer applicable. With that, I can't recommend anybody for you for quick processing, because a bank is a bank is a bank. The issue is, can that bank basically receive large money wire transactions? You need to be aware of the fact, though, that if they, when that type of money comes in, they're going to want you to prove where it came from. And some of the banks are going to handle this differently than others. I recommend Wells Fargo because they are very well familiar with this whole scenario. But do not go down to your local bank and ask them about this, because the local branch people aren't going to know about this, folks. They just aren't. If the local bank employees were told this was going to happen, how long do you think they would stay there working when the money got through? All of a sudden, all the banks would be empty and they would have no employees, because you've got tellers working at basically lower wages that now have the ability to be a multimillionaire. The banks can't take legal responsibility for letting all of their employees know what's happening in this stuff. This is stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So don't go into your local bank and ask them about this, because they're either going to tell you it's a scam or it's a crazy, or they're going to roll their eyes at you, okay? Something of that nature. So you stated that credit unions are not recommended because they're risky. It's not so much that a credit union is risky. Credit unions are not set up to handle multi-million dollar accounts. So there are some exceptions. Remember, a credit union is membership driven. It's driven by its members of everyday people who basically have, you know, just everyday bank accounts. They don't have the real large sums of money that give them the security and the backup. You can do a credit union if you want, but I have to tell you, you're probably going to have some problems if you bring in $30, $40, $50 million into a credit union, okay? But you need to do that research for yourself, okay? Okay. Let's see, going on to the next one. It says, because I'm not a U.S. citizen, do I need to open an account in my country? I can't tell you what to do in another country. You have to do what you need to do to make sure that that bank can receive a money wire transfer. That's all that it is. This is not something that's limited to a specific country. It's just basically, you know, do the transactions take place? And it says, what can or should I say to the bank when I receive such an amount of money? I'm not going to tell you on that. You need to be wise about how you deal with that. You could tell them, you know, if it's gone public and it's out there in the open, you can say, well, yeah, I was involved in it. If it hasn't, that's your business between you and the bank. That's not my business about what you can and can't tell a bank, okay? All right. Let's see. I think we can go to a couple of the callers. I'm going to go to a lady by the name of Diane from area code 303. Diane, you are on the air, and what can I help you with?
Well, you know, I'm kind of calling with a case of the wines, but so I guess I'm looking for reassurance if I can. But like I was saying to Blanca, I'm a little disappointed with Trump because I thought he was going to be the GCR Messiah. And he has not, you know, it doesn't seem like we are any further along than we were before. I know you mentioned the Forbes article, but, you know, there have been hints in the wind before. So I'm just thinking to myself, you know, when is this thing going to happen? Do you think it'll happen in the next year? Do you think it'll happen 3 years into his presidency? What do you think?
What did I say tonight, Diane? Did you listen to the beginning of the program tonight?
I came in like 7:06. I couldn't get here any quicker.
I have been saying the same thing for months. Nothing happens until the banking system is safe. And Trump has no control over that. None. I have not changed that message for months. For months. Now, if I'm sounding a little bit firm tonight, maybe it's because I'm tired, a little tired, of people asking me the same questions over and over and over again when I've been saying the answer over and over and over again for months on this program.
I also think, though, Dave, in all fairness, we're tired too. I've been at this since 2010.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're whining and complaining and not doing your homework and not listening to what I'm saying.
I have done my homework and I'm ready to go. Honestly, I have. The only thing I have not done that I want to do is get a copy of that book called Sudden Wealth. That's the part I haven't dealt with yet. But, you know, as far as financial institutions and, you know, what kind of instruments I want to have to put my money in, no, I have been preparing for a long time. Yeah. And I've got a folder here that talks about, you know, my plan and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to execute this thing. When I hope it happens.
I would encourage you to go back and listen to the program I did about 3 or 4 weeks ago about the shifts and changes that are taking place. None of this happens until the banking system is safe. At the beginning of the program, I told you the IMF is the one who has the hold on this. The elders and the money sources are the ones that are working this. Trump has absolutely no final say. He approves it coming into America, but he is not the one who's in control of this. He is not the GCR guru savior. Yes, he is in favor of it, and that's in contrast to Obama was flat out stopping it for the last year and a half. He stopped it. He did stop it from happening in our country. He has the power to stop it, but he doesn't have the final say to make it happen. So don't go looking for Trump for the final answer on this. The final answer.
Well, I thought he had to maybe give his divine okie dokie or something. But my next question is, if I can do this really fast.
I said that on the program a few weeks ago. He did give his final say. He did. But he, all he can do is, see, that kind of money coming in from overseas, coming into the United States, has to go through the U.S. Treasury, and the U.S. Treasury has the ability to say yes or no to that volume of money coming into our country. And when Obama was in office, he used his power and stopped it. Trump has, I have been told that Trump has signed off and approved it, but he had to wait for the new Treasury Secretary to be in place, and the guy's only been there for 2 weeks. You know?
Well, I guess we got to give him a little bit of a break. He's. I wouldn't want to be on the job 2 weeks and have to deal with something that's, you know, possibly trillions of dollars. I really don't know what the final count is here, but it's big, I'm sure.
Yeah. This is a world changing
event. Can I ask another question?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think it's wise to use more than one financial institution? I have heard that it's better to kind of lay your money out in different banks. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would not put all this money into a single financial institution, because you're giving them that much power and control over your life. They can make things difficult for you. They can freeze your money. See, myself personally, I have five different bank accounts and two different brokerage accounts that I can spread my money around.
Well, so far I have, I have like four. So, you know, different places where I could put money. And one of those would be a credit union. But the other thing I heard is that if, let's just say, things go belly up and you, because you're insured up to, what is it, $250,000, right? Are you or is it more?
No, that's the amount.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyway, my understanding, and I don't know if this is a rumor, so this is a good time to bring something like this up, is does the FDIC really have 100 years to pay you back if your money is insured?
Listen, if this, if this is a global bank financial failure, don't plan on getting anything from FDIC, because they're like an insurance company, and they don't have enough money in their basically their accounts to supply an across the board failure. When we had the banking failures, you know, in after 2008, there was something only like about 40 to 45 banks failed. The FDIC couldn't even cover that many banks. How are they going to cover, you know, 20, 30,000 banks in the United States when they couldn't even cover 45 back in 2008? No, I wouldn't. I would not count. If we have a global or even a national financial failure, I would not count on getting anything from the FDIC. They don't have enough money.
Okay,
remember,
well, can you insure your money through something like Lloyd's of London or something?
Yes, you could.
If something could happen to your money?
Yes, you could. You could do that. Yeah, right. See, the FDIC is designed to cover bank failures, and bank failures only happen about once every 5 to 10 years. And it's usually only one or two of them. You know, that's all. That's what they're designed to cover. They are not designed to cover a massive, you know, countrywide or international, you know, banking failure. They don't have the money to do that.
Okay. Okay. And then one last question, if I can, please. Who owns the, you know, once we get going with this thing and we can become involved in the, in the charity kinds of things where we, you know, where we apply for money and we are able to fund a charity or whatever, let's just say that I wanted to buy some property. Since it's not coming from my funds, or a business is not being paid for from my funding, if I go through the program, then who owns the business? Is it their property, or do they own the land if I decide to buy land, or how does that work? Because if it doesn't come out of my pocket, then does this belong to the people who have set aside this money?
No, you're referring to the escrow account. for basically money that goes beyond what is what you know, like in the 20-80 split. You do not own or control the escrow account, but once the money is released, if it's for property that you own, it's your property. The escrow account is not going to own and manage property. They're not going to do that. The issue of the escrow account is, well, first of all, every contract is different, and I cannot give you an exact answer on that until we understand the stipulations of the contract.
That's okay. I just needed to know if, for example, I don't want to go into a bunch of details here, but I was thinking about seeing if I could buy property in another country, and it would be used not for me per se, but put in a trust for people. And so I just didn't know. I mean, I didn't feel real comfortable with thinking of doing that with if they own the property, and it, you know, and it can't really be in a trust for the people who I'd be buying it for. So that's why I'm asking this question. So if it really is something that you can, you know, that somebody doesn't have controls over, and they won't at some point come back and, you know, reclaim it, then I'm good with that. That's all I need to know.
Again, every contract is different. I can't give you an exact contract because different people, it's the fund, who's funding this? Who's paying for it? And it's their money. So, yes, they do have a certain amount of say about how that money can be used. But in a general situation, and what I have been told is happening now, these escrow accounts do not want to own and manage properties or anything that belongs to you. Once the money is released to you, the intent is to put the money to work. That's the intent. Mm-hmm. Put the money to work. It's not to be sitting in a personal account so a person can have $300 million and go thumbing their nose and look at me, I've become a king. You know, we're not in the
No, that's not what I have in mind. I'm much greater scale than that. But I'm just kind of giving you a little piece of what I'm thinking. So that was, you answered my question by telling me, you know, that they will get in, they will get into a contract with you. No, they do not. They're not doing this as a means to, you know, achieve ownership of businesses or land. So once they let go of that money and they've given you the okie dokie to spend it, then it's basically, I don't know, it's free and clear, or but not attached to them, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I'm assuming it's that, but I cannot guarantee that.
Okay, well, I guess we just have to get there. Yeah, I mean, I is there any way that you could find out something like that ahead of time?
No, we can't. That's a bridge that we won't cross until that arrives. I don't know because I don't know who's gonna. I don't know which group is gonna fund and put up the contract. So I don't know who to ask, and I'm not gonna, you know, call 7 or 8 different sources and ask them, and this is what you're gonna do, when they're gonna turn around and say, we don't know, because they won't know. Because here's the problem we're running into, Diane. There's only so much money they can release into the global economy without blowing it up. And there is way too much dinar out there for everybody to think that they're going to get paid. They're not. Because it will take $200 to $300 trillion to pay all the dinar that's out there floating around. Even at a lower rate, and that's not even the sovereign rates that all these people talk about. And none of my sources are saying they're paying that. So what we could possibly run into is in round two, it's a possibility we could see rates dramatically dropping. And they're going to have to say, okay, what's happening in the global economy with what we released in round one before we can make a decision what we're going to do in round two? Because we can't put too much money out there. And we just won't know that happens.
So, Dave, let me make sure that I have this clear in my mind. You are round one and waiting, and so I'm on your list, so I would be round two, right?
Yes. The people that are on my – I'm in round one because I've already turned in my currencies with a signed contract, okay? Those are the people that are in round one that have already turned in their currencies with signed contracts. That's round one. Round one has to get paid. And round two will be what comes after that. But I can tell you right now, with what you're reading on the blog sites about all these processing centers and 800 numbers, I don't know where they're going to get their money, because I don't know where $200 trillion is coming to pay for all those people and that they think is going to be round one. That ain't going to happen.
Well, I don't know who's going to be paying all these people who have been sitting there waiting with bated breath. That's just ridiculous. It makes no sense to me. So I don't even listen to that.
And I did address that on the program a few weeks ago when I said that there is a possibility that a lot of people out there that have DENAR are not going to get paid, because there's way, 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 way too much DENAR out there. It got out of control. And one of my sources, a very reliable source, with a top secret security clearance, has said there are 3 printing presses here in the United States printing up counterfeit DENAR. And there's over 400 quadrillion DENAR out there floating around the world. And these printing presses, the quality of the DENAR that they're printing up is so good, you cannot tell it's counterfeit by holding it or looking at it. You won't know it's counterfeit until it goes through a Delrin machine that has a laser light in it to read it with laser lights. That's the only way they can tell it's counterfeit. And so because of that, they're not going to mess with months and months of all this DENAR coming in and half of it's counterfeit. They're not even going to pay that out.
I mean, and I think, like you said, I hope it's a little easier to work with the dong. You know, hope the dong is a little easier to maneuver than the DENAR. Yeah. I really don't have as much. I have more dong than I do DENAR.
Well, Diane, let me say again what I said, so this is for everybody else's clarification as well. Based on my sources and based upon the brokers that I talked to and based upon the people that I feel that are in the know that would know, the ZIM was a limited currency for a limited number of people for a limited number of time. And if you have not already turned in your ZIM, you're probably not going to get anything for it, because right now, the people that are my funding sources and the top brokers that I work with, they cannot find anybody who is buying ZIM anymore. Nobody.
Yeah, I have more dong than I do.
Now, let me finish. I'm going to go to the dong, okay? I'm saying this for everybody else that's listening. So if you're hearing that people are buying ZIM, it's probably because they're flipping it, thinking that they're going to be able to sell it. There are some very, very small numbers of people who already have ZIMs under contract, and they're only adding to what they already have. And my understanding is that's the only stuff that's being accepted. Now, why is the dong the best currency that's out there? It's the only currency that I call a safe currency, because if you walk down to a bank and buy it and all of this falls apart, and then the funders aren't going to fund anything else because there's too much money out there without blowing up the global economy, you can take your dong back to the bank and get your money back. And the only thing that you lose is the transaction fees that happen on each end of the transaction. It's the only thing that you will lose. The dong could go through a slight change in its value, but it's not going to be very much because of the way that the dong operates. The other reason why the dong is such a safe currency is that what I've been told is if you go into the country in Vietnam and you get on the street level, they do not use the dong, their own currency in country. They use U.S. dollars. They use U.S. dollars in restaurants and stores and shopping centers and stuff like that. That's the currency that is traded at the street level. So there's very little of their own currency in circulation in their own country. And that's why, there was a limited amount of the dong that was printed up, and it's not out of control. And that is why it appears that is basically the safest one that is out there. Because there is no guarantee that anybody is going to get paid, because you have to come back to what are the funding sources saying. Who's going to pay it? Somebody's got to buy this currency from us. And if they say that we've already put out enough money, that we're not going to put out any more money, there's no guarantee that they're going to buy any more, or it may stretch out for some years before they decide to do it again. We just don't know and have an answer to that. So I try to tell you what is safe for you if you want to choose to participate in this. Nobody's forcing you to do it. Based on my sources, I think I, you know, I have some pretty good understanding of what's going on, but people need to make their own decisions. Okay. So did that answer your questions, and do you have anything else?
No, I'm glad you got checked out by the FBI. I mean, that's just best.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think in the long run that's best? You know, I'm glad you told us. That just puts another layer in my mind of safety in there. Okay, yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
And thank you for tolerating my impatience tonight. So
that's all right. Okay. I figured you might get a little upset. But anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, yes, we still have room for a lot more callers, and the number again is 515-605-9356. But again, I would be saying, folks, if you have the capability to go over to a computer and listen on the computer versus your phone, that would help other people who would like to call in and would like to ask a question or make a comment. So we'll go to the next caller. His name is, you have to press 1 on your touch-tone phone. So we'll go to the next caller. His name is Jay from area code 336. Jay, you're on the air. What can I help you with? Is this Jason?
Hey, buddy, it is. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, how are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. Good to hear you tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't have any questions, I don't think. I wanted to just throw out a couple things. I'm also hearing on my end that money's moving, so that's a good confirmation that everybody's kind of hearing that, so or that possibly it is. I've had confirmation through 3 sources today that money was moving as of yesterday, so that's good. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. Obviously, with Reno, sometimes it's you don't know.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to tell you, too, we're really, really looking forward to you coming to Charlotte. And I wanted to also offer any help I could offer to you. Obviously, it's my home state. I live about 3 hours from there now. I used to live about an hour from there. And we got our tickets tonight. We're going to be there. We've got quite a few other folks coming as well. And if you need anything, please, please reach out to me and let me know.
I'm good for now. We have Blanca and her husband, Alan, will be helping at the registration table. So, yeah, we're good.
Super. I was also just going to make a comment. This last lady that was on your call was talking about FDIC. And one thing that people may not know, and I know a lot of people are looking at having trusts to put their money into. I know that on a couple of my trusts, there's about 8 beneficiaries. And one thing about the FDIC is they will actually insure $250,000 per beneficiary, and there's no limit on it. Now, obviously, you wouldn't want to have, 25 beneficiaries because maybe you don't have that many people for the money to go to if something happens. But it is a way to get that insurance on the money that you're putting in there in addition to just the $250 per one deposit. I thought that might help her.
That's good information. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Otherwise than that, buddy, man, we're excited over here. We can't wait to see you.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, we're about, 10 days away. So, yeah, I'll still have
you
on the program next week. Yeah. I just know next week, you got the Wednesday night program, and then Thursday morning I head down to the airport to hop on the plane to come away. So, yeah. Good. Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Have a great night, Dave.
Right. Thanks. Okay. Okay. All right. I'll go to the next caller. His name is Larry. And he's from area code, 516. Larry, you are on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. I'll try to talk and not interrupt you while I'm speaking, while you're speaking. A couple of things. To the people who were just talking about the FDIC, that gentleman is right about accounts. I've already talked to a wealth manager. Since we already have a business that's going business that we're doing for our humanitarian project, that will already be in operation by the time people want to fund you and the group. But I've talked to an attorney about this and accountants, and I've also talked to a wealth manager at TD Bank. And what he explained to me was with these accounts that have, if you want to have an account that has more than $250,000, the banks themselves or you personally can get it insured and they'll insure it. It's a private, it's more or less a private insurance company that will insure it. Now, if you have some small bank in your town that it's not one of the larger name banks with a lot of money backing it, you might have a problem with an insurance company or an insurer insuring the money in that particular bank. But a bank like TD Bank, they have insurance companies, private insurance companies that would insure that money. And I don't know if everybody knows, but TD Bank is a Canadian-based bank, and they have one of the best ratings because they didn't take a dime when that whole debacle happened back in 2010. They were one of the banks that never asked for any money. And they are an NA bank, well, I guess you would call it North American, but you probably already know that. But my question to you is this. We have several people that have been following you, Dave, and have signed up, of course, for the Humanitarian Project. And we, like I said, we are already instituted our business. And the business has to do with housing and low-income housing, VA, women's battered shelters, things like that. We've already instituted this. We already have the corporation. We're putting together some funding right now among us. We've already purchased some buildings. Now, when the time comes, we were hoping that there would be a way, rather than piecemeal each one of the people that are in our group, you look at them, but you can look at us as a group to help us with the funding that you know, you're talking about the other 80% or whatever it's going to be. That how is it that we could do that to communicate with you that we have, like, let's say 5, 6, 7 people in our group that all want to do the same thing?
Well, I can't give you an exact answer at this time, but I do know that once we start with that process and we are ready to start moving that money, by that time, we have the funds on my end to hire a lot of staff people, and we handle these on individual case by case. We basically will get on the phone with you and say, what can we do to help you? And if that's what facilitates it best for you and for us, then that's not a problem at all. But I just can't guarantee anything at this time. I cannot put out anything until I know we have a contract and I know we're going to get paid. Until then, it's only speculation on what will happen.
Right. Well, you basically answered my question. That if you contact us, then I can, over the phone, would say that we're, you know, 7 of us are involved. So this way, they're not looking at everybody piecemeal. They could be looking at our project as one group, and then
right.
You know what I mean. But we would be contacting one of us on the phone, whichever one is first, I would gather, or something like
sure.
that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, see, we would have the staff and the capability to basically work with this on a case-by-case basis with everybody. Because when you're dealing with that kind of money, that sum of money, that is what you want to do. You want to do what works best for you and what's expedient. And also, we have to work in a legal fashion to be able to do that. So, but we try to do what we can.
Right. It would just be, I guess, more expedient for everybody. This way,
sure.
It's not like looking at 7 applications you would have. One application for the 7 people. That's all I meant by that. And then this way we could be looked at as a group and, you know, whatever. Okay.
Great.
Right. I'm glad that you said the money's moving, because I did hear that from somebody else. And they're a fairly reliable source that has told me the same thing, you know, yesterday. So it's just another person now that you can say that you've heard it from me, and they have a group in Reno that they're involved with. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good night. Okay. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. Going to go on to the next caller. His name is Stanley, and he's from area code 201. Stanley, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have basically one question. Some time ago, you were saying when we get the money, like 20% goes to us 60% goes to the escrow account and 20 for the whatever. Anyway, my question is, if I set up some kind of foundation and say, if I have, say, $10 million in the escrow account, but if I develop something bigger and I need more money, would I be able to get extra money?
It depends on how much currency you turned in.
Right, I understand, but I mean, okay, so if I turn in and say, okay, let me give an example. I get $2 million, and there's a $6 million in my escrow account. I mean, the way you were saying a long time ago, that's about the ratio, okay? Now, if I need more than $6 million, you know, down the road, will I be able to ask for extra money?
Possibly. We will not. Well, it depends on what the money source is, how the money is flowing,
right,
and what's going on at that time. I can't make that decision at this time. I have the comment that, you know, the money would not run out. Well, when I make the comment that the money's not going to run out, that is based on the fact that we have already given you something. You have shown that you used it wisely. You put it to work, and you would like to then come back and get more. And
right,
that
that's my question.
You displayed to us that you were a wise steward of the funds and you put it to work. Then yes, there is that possibility. Under those conditions, you could get more.
Oh, that was my question. Yes.
Right.
And basically, you answered my question. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. 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 Gonna go to the next caller. His name is Shane, and he's from area code 408. Shane, you are on the air. What can we help you with?
Hello, Dave. My name is Shane. I met you over in Cupertino last year. And the question is I plan to be away on vacation for the next till after March 20th. Will everything be all right until after then, or do I
can't
need to stay home?
I don't know. I don't know, but I do think that's probably fairly safe, because I have been saying is that round one has to finish, and then don't plan on anything for at least a month and a half to 2 months after round one finishes. And that is basically already, what, you know, only 3 weeks away. So I think you would, yes, it's safe to say yes, that you'd be just fine.
All right, that's my only question. Bye.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks. Okay. Let's see, are we getting anybody else there? Ah, yes, I do have Blanca is still on the air with this lady by the name of Jana from area code 336. What if I just go right in? You know what? I'm coming right in there, Jana. You are here on the air.
Hi, Dave.
You were not
I'm very excited that you're...
Yeah,
well,
I'm excited
I'm
that
talking...
this lady is. Yeah.
Thank you for coming to Charlotte. Thank you for traveling all this way.
Oh, my pleasure. Yes. What happened? Oh, let me bring her back. There we go.
I did really have my question is that I would like to meet more people that are in the area that are interested in this, and especially who follow you. And it's rather difficult. When I talk to my regular friends, they roll their eyes. And everyone seems so concerned about privacy. It's very hard to get a group together. I'm willing to host barbecues and cookouts or drive. I'll drive 3 hours just to have dinner with someone. And I was wondering if perhaps the people that are coming to Charlotte would at least think about somehow us creating a master list. Or I would certainly keep everyone's email private and just send out invitations to dinner. But I know after we get money, people will get even more protective of their privacy, and it'll be even harder to find people.
Okay, well, here's what I do when I'm at the workshop. What I do is that I make an announcement, and I say if somebody is here, is willing to head up this group, that they have to be someone that's willing to tell everybody at the group, yes, I'm willing to do that, and then they give me their email. and then I will send to that individual. I basically tell everybody, this is the person that you need to contact. I do not give out your emails without your permission. So what I will do, I will send an email to everybody that attends the Charlotte workshop saying, you need to contact this individual if you wish to develop a local group out of this workshop. This is the individual that's taking the responsibility for the leadership. And what's extremely important is I don't want anything to do with it. I do not have time to micromanage 25 to 30 different groups around the country. I cannot do that. So it's your as a responsibility. It's you, the people that are there. And if I do protect your private email, that email doesn't go out until you choose to give that email to that individual who is willing to take this on. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I totally volunteer.
Okay, all right. Remind me of that when I'm here. That if you want to volunteer to meet up, you know, the group there in Charlotte, and that you are the one that is willing to do that, and then I will basically send everybody that attends that workshop, I will send them your email to contact you. And then from there, you build your list.
That's good with me. Thank you so much.
All righty.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else?
Just that I'm so excited that you're coming this way. I can't wait.
Great. It'd be nice to see you again.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good night.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to the next caller. His name, I think it's Michael. Michael, you're on the air. You need to turn your volume on.
Hey, can you hear me?
There we are. Yeah,
there
now, we're not
getting feedback. Now we're not.
I'm still getting lots of feedback. That means that your computer is coming on your microphone.
How about
you need
now?
To totally turn it down or turn it off.
I'm on my phone, just on the regular line. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but I'm getting all my. Let me see if I'm getting feedback now. Nope, it quit. So okay, we're good. No, I'm
hey, Dave, I've been following you for quite a long time. My question was, once the you know, the first round is funded, I mean, do you realize how many, you know, like every person that would possibly get funded in the first round at least tell five people? I mean, are you prepared for, I mean, it would probably be, I would say 50,000, 100,000 people would be on your second round.
I can shut the list off anytime I want to.
Can?
I can shut the list off anytime I want to if I need to.
Hmm.
You see, if it gets too big, I just have to shut it off.
Well, I know you're worrying about how much funds are being released at once, and you know, the global, you know, the global amount of funds being impact and all that. I was just wondering about that.
I'm echoing really strongly, Michael.
Really strong.
Something's going on in
your
phone. I'm coming to your phone. So
now,
repeat your question to me again.
I was just wondering how, like, once, you know, round one is funded, and once, you know, everybody knows it's real, I mean, the round two would be, I would say 200,000-300,000 people on your list instantly.
I know. And if it's too many people, it's too late. They're too late to get in. What I can handle is dependent upon what the funders are willing to release. And if there's too many people, then we just shut it off, and they don't get to participate because they're too late.
But, I mean, I know you talked about some of these people, you know, they, like the 70 zeros or 60 zeros, so, you know, the amount of money would be unlimited, but I don't know. I was just trying to, you know, run that by you, that, you know, once round one is funded, that...
There's only so much money you can release to the global economy without blowing it up. Without creating hyperinflation. It's not how much money they have. It's about how much they're willing to release into the
economy.
Michael, I'm going to have to shut you off.
All
right. Thanks. Bye.
All righty. Thanks. Yeah.
All righty. Thanks.
Yeah, there was this way. I'm sure you were hearing that just as well as I was. It was kind of a disruptive feedback. But his question is an honest question. What happens if this goes public and all of a sudden people start learning about it and they want to jump on the train? Well, I'm sorry, the train's already left the station and they're too late. Now, that decision will be based on how much money it's going to be willing to release. There's only so much money that the funders are going to release into the global economy without blowing it up into hyperinflation. Because if they put too much out there, then they're playing right into the hands of the cabal for them to take over with their power and their control. Okay? Blanca, do we have anybody else here on the list?
No, we took the ones. A couple of them kind of were in queue and then they disappeared. But that's what we got.
Okay. You know what? Somebody just popped up. You haven't screened them, but I'll just go right straight to them. It's a call from area code 262. I am bringing you on the air. Area code 262, you're on the air with Dave. What's your name? Where are you from? What can we help you with?
Hi, Dave. This is Mark from Wisconsin.
Ah, Dave.
Yes. Last couple weeks now, you've kind of had to have a low profile. So you're back on the air tonight. So I'm just kind of wondering, has anything changed or is it just pretty much the status quo from the previous weeks?
I already made those at the beginning of the program. There's some new information that's coming out. We are getting reports that money is moving in Reno. I can't substantiate it, but it's coming from very good sources. It'll be what it is, and I think if it's true, we'll find out probably within the next week or so.
Okay.
You know, and back to what I said is that Trump was waiting for his new Treasury Secretary to come into place. He's only been there for a couple of weeks. We are hearing that money has been in place. They've been waiting for the hold. The IMF has the hold over all the money all around the world. We were told that they released that hold last Thursday. I'm telling it to you as it's being told to me. Can I absolutely guarantee and substantiate all that? No, I can't. But all I know is that my sources are very good, reputable sources, and we try to be very, very careful that what information that we're passing on, that it's reliable information, and it's just not hearsay talk. So that's the scoop.
Sure. Is there any chance that you can get that Mr. M back on the program soon?
Not until he is released from those sources. That's why he hasn't been back, is because he's in touch with these very high funding people, and they are concerned. He is very, very, very heavily monitored. What I mean, it was to the point that he had one of his sources inside the CIA basically send him a transcript of all of his phone calls for the previous 3 days. It's just, every one of your calls is recorded and monitored, and you're watched. And it's not coming from just us. We were able to use our, technology to pick it up from other sources. You're being watched and monitored by different sources. They're listening to what you have to say. So I have limited communication with him. He and I don't talk hardly at all on the phone anymore. And he cannot come back on the air until it's safe.
Sure.
Yeah.
And about the money reportedly moving from Reno again, I think it was probably even back in November, we were talking about that, where it was supposed to be moving. And you reported that, if I remember right, in Reno, there's supposed to be like large warehouses or something where they have these many Delarue machines and things like that. Was there even large amounts of money in there? As I understand, if I can think back at that time. But was there ever a time that there was money moving, or would it be my understanding that these large warehouses full of Delarue machines have just been sitting idle for months?
I can only tell you based on my perception. I can't give you an exact answer, but when we were saying that the money was moving back in, the fall and late summer, we found out that it was deliberate disinformation that was coming from very, very high sources to basically throw all of us off guard. And my sources, when they found that out, they just quit reporting. They said they're not going to participate in that deliberate disinformation. The warehouses with the Delarue machines, those are very real. Just because they've taken the currency doesn't mean the currency is moving. It's basically been setting. until basically the full funds are ready to be released.
Okay, so so that is accurate, though. They're actually, these warehouses are actually there with the Delarue machines ready to go, but they could very well have been sitting there for half a year not doing anything then.
Well,
just
I know
being ready.
I know people who turned in currencies over a year and a half ago that's sitting in the warehouses and they're still waiting. So nothing happens until the hold is released from on top and until the money is safe. See, just because you turned your currency in into a warehouse in Reno doesn't mean it's safe to move the money to you via money order without it being stolen across the off money wires.
Sure. But but obviously they wouldn't have set up these large warehouses and been ready. There must have been at least at one time they thought they would be moving ahead with it, and then
sure.
it got delayed.
Yeah. But it doesn't. And that's true. But this is a constantly shifting and changing scenario. It doesn't stay the same. There is no hardcore consistency on this thing. I mean, it's a chess game. You make one chess move, and the whole board changes of what you have to do.
And who would be these workers that you know that are going to move this money that would always be on call? I mean, there's probably a time that they got called in, they thought they were going to do it, and then they got sent home or whatever.
I can't give you that information. That's confidential information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I have, Dave. Thanks.
All right. Good. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Blanca, do we have anybody else? Hello. Is she busy talking with somebody else? Or... where did you go?
Oh, here I am. I was muted.
There you are.
I'm just talking away to myself here.
I don't see that we have anybody else. Do we have anybody else?
No.
I know the phone line.
We had a couple pop in, and they just popped out when I went to talk with them, and a couple were in queue, and they, I guess, hung up or disappeared or got cut off. I'm not real sure. But I think that's it. You've been through the calls that are, in the queue and, who raised their hands.
Yeah, the phone lines are full, so I know there might be people trying to call in, but they can't get through because all the lines, line's bad at its peak. So, do you have anything else you would like to share with us tonight? We made this call at an early night tonight.
Oh, I know. Well, it was, again, good to hear, folks. A lot of people are excited about your Charlotte workshop, so there's a lot of excitement about that. So it's going to be a great workshop, I'm sure. And if you all are thinking about going, I would not hesitate to register because there's a lot of interest in this one. And then some of the callers, I noticed they were, had mixed emotions about delays and how long this is taking. And I think all we can do is just encourage people to use this time to build up their positivity and to build up all their thoughts about what they're going to do, and to not let this process take them down a low road of impatience or of worry or whatever. That's not what this is about. So a lot of people are, doing it right, just knowing that when it happens, it happens, and knowing that the energies that we hold can actually facilitate it or push it away. So I just want to encourage people to continue, with their patience and their positive anticipation of this going through. So it's kind of detecting some of those sort of emotions in the callers. I don't know when you talk, because I'm behind the scenes, and when you talk to them, I don't know if you detected that or.
Well, obviously we all wish it happened yesterday. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Or months ago, if not even a couple of years ago.
Right.
This is a world-changing, huge event, and we are not the priority on this event. We basically are at the bottom of the totem pole of the priority of this whole thing happening. Those of us that are the average moms and pops that have the opportunity to be involved in this, we were an afterthought. We were never a part of the original plan. We were stuff that came in at a much later time. And when you get at the very, very top funding levels, you know, they're looking at how this affects the whole 9 billion people on the planet, not the thousands of us that are wishing this would have happened 5 months ago. So our wishes, our concerns, our pushes, our desires doesn't have much impact on that, because they look at how this affects the whole world, not just you and me. And so because of that, we have to wait. We have to wait until their decision making on their, what they feel is out there, and it's what I have had to say, they're not going to start moving money until it's safe. Again, I, you know, it was about, you know, a few months ago when I was able to talk with face-to-face with these people that have these very large trusts. I mean, independently, they both told me they both have had over $1 billion stolen off the money wires when they tried to move money. If they could do that,
wow,
at that level of the amount of money they have to be that, have that type of secure systems, we're peanuts. They could just step right in and take everything from us and we never get anything. And if our money is stolen off the money wires, then who do we go to complain? We have nobody to turn to that would even believe that this had even happened. So, folks, it's not that simple of an issue. It's not. There's huge, huge, huge opposition to us receiving this money. And we saw that as the reports had come out that, you know, the Obama administration had been stopping it for over a year. That's pretty high. It's right at the top. When you have that type of opposition to where they don't want us to receive this. And there's differences of opinions on that, but, you know, it's our, what we have to do is stay very positive, very focused, and very patient. And if your guy is starting to get impatient, then that's your problem. I don't know what else to say. And I also want to be very, very clear that this is a constantly changing scenario and situation. And the information that I'm receiving, there's only so much money that's going to be released in round one. And there may be a possibility that there may not be money for Dinar in round two. There's a very high probability because there's just way, 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 way too much Dinar out there. And then who are they going to decide who's going to get funded and who is not? You see. And what we're hearing is that's why they're moving toward funding the dong, because it's the low currency, it's the safe currency, it's the one that the fewest people have purchased, and it's the one that hasn't been overprinted, and it doesn't have the counterfeit problems, and it is a currency that's tradable in the open foreign exchange market. It may be that round two may be only a dong exchange. That's a possibility. I don't know on that, but that's a decision that you have to make. But if you went out there and with the hundreds of thousands of people that purchased Dinar thinking you were going to get money, it's back to where's that money coming from? Who's going to pay it? And what does it do when you release that kind of money to the global economy? Now, there is a possibility that they may say, we'll put you on a payout system that they'll only give you a very, very small amount of money, then they'll pay it out over 20, 30, and some of you even have said 50 years. There is a possibility that that might happen, but we just don't know. All I know is what my sources who are funding this have said, they're only releasing so much money to the global economy because they're not going to play into the cabal's hand and blow everything up, because that's what happens when you put too much money into circulation. You create hyperinflation, and in hyperinflation, you basically blow up the economic system. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that is out there about who's going to get what in the dinar world. And you notice I'm using the word dinar world. And that's based on the information that's coming to me. And to me, it's common sense. Because who's going to come up with the $200 or $300, you know, trillion dollars to pay for all that? And what does it do when you put that much money into the economy? You know, without questioning much of what's being said. So, okay. Anything else you'd like to share, Blanca?
No, I think that's it. That was kind of a general trend I was picking up, and so it's always good to hear that there's a much bigger issue, much bigger, probably dynamics really going on about this shift and change in the way finances are held and the way you know, people, just like you said, ordinary people have access to funds to do some big, wonderful things, and so it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal, and a lot of it is, how much can we actually believe that something like that is possible? And if we start doubting or worrying or getting anxious, that's not necessarily healthy. So, but that was all that I was kind of picking up, that and the excitement about your workshop. So.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And we will always, Blanca and you, all the others, we will see you next week.